Hey, good morning once again. If you're new here, this is your first time here, my name is Sten. I'm the pastor here, and I honestly can't tell you really how glad we are to have you here with us this morning. Have you ever had a song that you loved so much, but eventually you had to admit to yourself that you actually just don't know the words to the song? You ever had that happen? Eric and I know the feeling. We've always been kind of secret fans of Taylor Swift, maybe not so secret fans, I don't know. But I always remember when her song Blank Space made its debut. It started coming on to the radio. Whenever the song came on, Eric and I would channel our inner lip-syncing rock star, and we'd sing along. We knew all the words. But there was one part of the song that always made us scratch our heads a little bit. We always got to the song lyric, "All the lonely Starbucks lovers." And it didn't really make a ton of sense to us. We'd be singing, "All the lonely Starbucks lovers will tell you I'm insane." We figured, all right, I don't really understand that part of the song, but we loved the song, and so we kept on singing along. We were proud to consider ourselves such expert Taylor Swift lip syncers. Very proud. That is until we learned, I think, what some of you are thinking right now. That's actually not the lyric to the song. Taylor was not singing "All the lonely Starbucks lovers." She was actually singing "I've got a long list of ex-lovers." Now, that's a list, and that's a problem of hers that I don't really care to talk much more about today. But this little mix-up on our part, on the other hand, this mix-up reminds me of how often we can listen to something, maybe over and over and over again, we can listen to something without actually hearing what's being said. And as it relates to the song, Eric and I, luckily we weren't alone. I found online that this song, and that specific song lyric, actually, it was number 14 on a list of most commonly misunderstood song lyrics, right? So others were making the very same mistake and made us feel better. But I'm guessing that you and I make the same mistake in other areas of our lives that actually matter. With other people in our lives that actually matter a whole lot more than lip-syncing to a Taylor Swift song. Listening, but not really hearing. And so that's what I want to talk about just a little bit this morning as we continue in week two of this series of ours called Plan A. Let me just get you up to speed on what this series is about and what we've covered so far. This plan that we have put under the microscope, I believe, is God's greater plan to bring good news into a world that is so often filled with so much bad news, right? That's the reality that I'm sure that we are all well aware of today. Bad news floods into our lives every day, it seems like. And that can be hard. That can be discouraging. Get discouraging very quickly. But as I've said before, God has a plan. And in fact, I believe that God has always had a plan for bringing good news into the midst of bad news. And his plan is people like you and like me. And right now, there is no plan B. Right, his plan to bring good news into the midst of bad news was people just like you and me, and right now there really is no plan B. Last week we started by looking at the moment when this plan or this mission really for the church was established in what Matthew recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28. These were Jesus' final words to his first followers. He says this. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all the nations." Now he's saying, I'm sending you. It's your turn now. This is what I've been about, and now I want this to be what you're going to be about. He says, "Therefore, you go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." The story of Jesus Christ, who he was and what he did and how he loved and what he taught, is good news for all people, right? It's good news that changes lives, that changes situations, that changes scenarios, that changes trajectories of the lives of all people. It's good news for all people. And it's the good news, and it's the message, and it's the story that Jesus is telling his followers to spread to every place and to every person on the planet. That's the plan. and spreading the good news of Jesus. This is what this series is really all about here. Spreading the good news about Jesus Christ, telling people about Jesus. This kind of work, it has a name in the church world. It has a name in the church world. It's called, are you ready for it here? It's called evangelism. And if you're like most people today, I think just the mention of the word makes you uneasy. Right? For some of you, makes you cringe a little bit. Others, you're thinking, oh boy, here we go. Sten's calling out the super Christians to hit the streets and creep up on people in coffee shops. Right? That's the kind of image that we have when we hear this word. But I'll admit that the concept has gotten a little blurry. You know, it's gotten a little confusing. I wonder, man, how many times can you say that word before people start, you know, freaking out a little bit, right? That the idea of it's gotten kind of blurry and kind of confusing, and somehow it's turned into this big, you know, pushy, uncomfortable, forced, awkward idea that most people don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole. They're thinking, I'll pass. But the truth is, that's not what it's about at all, right? If it is, I said this last week. If that's what it is, I'm not interested. I mean, if it's forced conversations with people that don't really want to listen to me in the first place, if it's trying to weasel my way or force my way uncomfortably into conversations with other people, I think I'll take a pass. But luckily for me, luckily for you, luckily for everyone on the receiving end of our good intentions, that's not really it. And that's what this series is trying to uncover. Right? This idea of evangelism, this idea of telling more people about the good news of Jesus Christ, it's so much more simple. And it's so much more natural than that. And it can be broken down into really simple steps. You know, simple steps, simple ideas, simple things, whatever you want to call them. We've called them practices. We broke it down into 5 practices that we can incorporate into our daily lives. Practices that if more of us put this to play in our lives, whether we're Christians or not even, these are practices that I think if we started to put these into play in our lives, we'd see our neighborhoods and in our communities and our workplaces and places around us, I think we'd start to see them change for the better. As we make these practices a part of our natural rhythm as friends, as family, as neighbors, as coworkers, and so on. It's 5 simple practices. And so each of these 5 practices are represented in the acronym BLESS. We simply want, at the heart of this all, we simply want to be a blessing to people around us. Right? We don't want them to freak out, you know, so much that, you know, they duck and cover when they see us coming our way. Right? Christians, I think we should be some of the best neighbors and the best coworkers and the best bosses and managers and the best employees and the best friends on the planet. Right? And the way we do that, the way that we really deliver the best news on the planet to people around us is to start by being a blessing to the people in our lives. And so that word bless, it is simply the way that we hope that you would remember this plan that we've started to put into play. We want there to be an easy way for you to remember these practices and how we put this plan into play in our lives, not just for 5 weeks, but as we put it into play into our lives. The acronym is the word BLESS. Being a blessing to people, it's really at the heart of this idea that we refer to as evangelism. It's at the heart of Jesus' instructions to his followers. And I think that it's at the heart of God's plan for his people from the very beginning. Look at what God tells Abraham, actually. The guy's known as the father of our faith from the very beginning. This is Genesis 12:2. God says this to Abraham. He says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, Abraham, and make your name great. And then you will be a blessing. God, I'm going to bless you so that you could then be a blessing. All right, that was God's intent all along. Being a blessing to people around us was on page 1 of God's playbook for us from the very start. And I think that blessing people is actually far more effective. If we're going to talk about it, I think blessing people is far more effective than converting people. with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want us to be about. It's five simple practices. Last week, we started by learning that when we put this plan into motion in our lives, we simply begin with prayer. That's where this all started. We have to be people that in our lives, we simply begin with prayer. Because we said that it's what we pray for that tells our eyes what to look for, right? It's the things that are on our hearts and our minds that our eyes know to look for or naturally see around us, right? So we start by praying for people in our life, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family and friends, praying for these people that are far from God, praying for people that have questions about God or who are in need of good news in their life or maybe just in need of some good company in their life. We begin with prayer. We pray that God would show us how. We pray that he would show us where and when to be a blessing to these people. And then we keep our eyes open. We keep our eyes open to look for the opportunities to do just that, because what we pray for, we said, tells our eyes what to look for. If you were here last week and didn't get the little map that we talked about, if you listen online and didn't get the map that we talked about, we have them still here at the welcome desk. So grab one before you go. Make sure you take that home with you and just jump into this plan with us. If you missed it entirely, it's on the website. I really hope that if you're going to be tracking with us, you'd go back and catch up and jump off from week one with in this series, plan A. Okay, that's week one. We begin with prayer. The second practice is this. We listen with purpose. We begin with prayer for people in our life that are far from God or have questions about God, and then we listen with purpose. What that means is this, is we pay attention to people's dreams. We pay attention to people's pain. Maybe it's those people that you put on that map. Maybe it's the people in your sphere of influence. I mean, you know that each of you has a sphere of influence, right? No matter what you do, whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a doctor or a stay-at-home mom or a janitor or a truck driver, you know you have a sphere of influence, right? People around you every day that you can influence, that you can impact daily, right? Maybe it's those people, right? We pay attention to their dreams, to their pain. We pay attention to their joy, to their heartache, and we listen for evidence of God's work in their life. I really believe this. I actually believe that it's a huge mistake for you and me to assume that God isn't present or that God isn't active in the life of people who might be far from God. I believe it's a huge mistake to assume that God isn't active or present in their life until you and I show up on the scene. Right, I can't exactly tell you how or where or what specifically, but I do believe that God is already at work in people's lives. Whether they know it or not, I believe that he's already at work long before you and I show up in their life. And so we just need to listen for evidence of it. We need to listen with real purpose. Jesus actually demonstrates this in maybe the most powerful way, I think. He demonstrates the way to listen with purpose when he heals a blind man. And we find this story in Luke chapter 18, and I want us to see it together here this morning. This is really great stuff. Here's what it says. Luke chapter 18, starting about verse 35, it says this. When Jesus was coming to Jericho, a blind man sat beside the road. The man heard the crowd walking by and asked what was happening. And some people told him that Jesus from Nazareth was passing by. And so the blind man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people who were going along with Jesus, they told the man to be quiet. They're telling him, "Hey man, pipe down, dude." But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stopped, it says. Jesus stopped and told some people to bring the blind man over to him. Now, let me pause for just a second here in the story so that we don't miss something that's happening. Jesus wasn't looking for someone to heal that day. He was actually on his way to the city of Jericho, which was the last stop on his way to Jerusalem, where he was going to participate in the Passover festival. And there were tons of people There were tons of people on that very same road to Jerusalem to participate in that very same festival. So Jericho at this time of year, it was an extra packed, extra bustling, extra busy place that time of year. Picture Minneapolis at the time of the Super Bowl. People are just coming from everywhere. It's packed. It's filled. It's totally insane. And amidst all the people, there's a blind guy who's in the crowd, and he cries out to Jesus, "Have pity on me." And despite the crowds, despite his travel plans, Jesus stops, and he listens to this one guy. Look at what happens next. It says, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see." He answered, and Jesus replied, "Look, and you will see. Your eyes are healed because of your faith." Now, you knew this was coming, right? Blind man can't see, calls out to Jesus. Jesus heals him, and they all live happily ever after. We saw that coming, right? I just don't want us to fast forward too quickly away from what was really happening. What I want us to notice is how Jesus engages with this guy, how he responds to this guy. I want us to pay attention to the question that Jesus asks this man who is blind. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" If I'm being honest, coming from Jesus, this seems like an odd question. Jesus knew the dude couldn't see. He actually called for him by name. He called for him actually by that very description. He said, "Hey, bring the blind man to me." So why would he ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" It seems like it would be plainly obvious to everybody who was standing by. But what I think that this demonstrates is this. I think it shows us that Jesus was a person who didn't assume that he knew what people wanted. He didn't assume that he knew what people needed. He truly wanted to hear from them, and he wanted them to be heard. He wanted to know their dreams. He wanted to know their pain. He wanted to hear about their joy and their sorrow. So he asked questions, and then he listened. He slowed down. Sat with people, asked questions, and then he listened to them. It's listening with purpose. It's listening with intention. It's listening with real care for people and for what's happening in their life. It's listening for what it is that they really need the most. There's an author and church leader by the name of Michael Frost. And he spent much of his career helping people to discover their mission in life. And he tells a story about this missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a really remote village there. And this group showed up. They showed up in India with all sorts of supplies, all sorts of programs, and tons of skilled workers ready to transform this village into a place of life and health and vitality. And so they went to the people living in what really was a slum in India, and they said, "We can't wait." They said, "Hey, we could build you a medical clinic to take care of the hurting and the sick people around you. We could build you a school, a place of education, so that your next generation can teach themselves and work their way out of poverty." They said, we could build you a church if you wanted. I'm thinking, hey, send them to Hudson, Wisconsin. But that was not a part of the story. They said, "Hey, we could build you a church, for a place for you guys to gather together to learn about God." They said, "What do you want us to do for you?" And the people of the village said, "We need a mailbox." Missionaries said, "A mailbox? I mean, they're like, we could build you a school, a house, a church, but they're saying a mailbox? I mean, I'm not very handy guy, so that seems like a tall order to me. But these missionary, this group of skilled workers, they're saying, we could build you anything you wanted, and you want a mailbox? And the people said, "Yeah, that's what we really need the most. It's a mailbox." Because what that also meant for them was a zip code. A mailbox meant you had an official zip code. You see, in India, if you live in the slum and you don't have a zip code, or a mailbox, it means that you don't actually exist on a map. You don't exist as a people or a community. Even if you're a community of 10 or 20,000 people, if you don't have a zip code, if you didn't have a mailbox, you're not recognized as existing for anything, including social services from the government. And so the people didn't want a school. They didn't want a medical clinic. They didn't want a church. They wanted to be put. They wanted to be put on the map. They wanted to have an identity. That they wanted to be recognized as a part of their own country. They wanted to exist in the very place that they already lived. It's what they really needed most. And these missionaries would not have known this unless they listened. Unless they asked questions and really listened with purpose. And it was no small task, actually. It took these missionaries 2 years. It took these missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy. That sounds like a headache to me. It took them 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get this village registered, to get them a zip code, and to get them a mailbox. But once they did, the village began to change from the inside out. And the plans of these missionaries changed when they listened with purpose. Right? Their plan changed when they asked, "What do you really need us to do for you?" Now, I'm not suggesting necessarily that we go around to every person that we know just asking, "What do you need me to do for you? What do you need me to do for you? What do you need me to do for you?" Right? We're not Jesus. We're not a genie in a bottle capable of granting wishes everywhere that we go to every person that comes along. I just want us to slow down and to develop ears that really hear more, right? To make it a practice in our life, not just for 5 weeks, but to make it a practice in our life to be listening for what people might be saying if we did ask them that question. Right, to not assume that we know what they need or what they want, or to not assume that we know how much they really want us to invest or not. Right? But this is a part of investing well into people. It's a part of being a real blessing to people. It's a part of this plan of bringing a little bit of light, a little bit of good news into a world that is, I think, very desperate for some good news. It's listening for evidence of where God might be at work. Might be at work, whether they know it or not. It's listening for this kind of evidence of where God might be at work in their life. It's listening with real purpose. The funny thing about all this, this idea of listening well, the funny thing about this is this idea, it's actually been on my radar. It's actually been on my radar for a lot longer than just when this series came about. A couple years ago, my mom gave our family a book at Christmas called The 7 Habits of Happy Kids. It's a kid's book of 7 different stories about the lives of these little animal friends that live in the happy place of Seven Oaks. And each story, it's designed to help parents teach their kids valuable life lessons or principles in life about responsibility and respect for others and so on. And there's one story in this book. There's one of the main ideas in particular that when I read it to my daughter, it's a kid's book. It's about animals and skunks and bears and all this stuff. But there's one story and one main idea that when I read this to my daughter 2 years ago, I said to myself, someday that story will end up in a message that I preach at church. I just knew it. I said, someday that will end up in a message that I preach in a church someday, somewhere, and that day is today. In this particular story, Jumper, he's the adventurous, the athletic, the overly excited, energy-filled little bunny rabbit. You can just picture it, right? He's off to Fisheye Lake to play Frisbee. And he's hoping for the whole Seven Oaks gang to come along with him. So he visits each of his friends' houses, hoping that they'll come along and play. The problem is, with each house he visits, with each friend that he goes to invite along, he finds each one of his friends all experiencing some kind of disappointment, some kind of issue, some kind of problem, some kind of, sadness, and they can't or they don't want to come play with him. and he just wants to go to Fisheye Lake and play Frisbee so bad that it seems he's more upset that no one wants to come play with him than the fact that his friends are all feeling a little bit bummed out. And his impatience reaches its limit. His impatience reaches its limit when he gets to tag along Allie's house. She's a little mouse that hangs around with this whole crew. And he gets to Allie's house, and he asks if she can come play. And she shakes her head no, and through tears and through the one little baby tooth that's poking out of her mouth, she cries over and over again, "Me sweater backwards! Me sweater backwards!" And Jumper says, "Oh, you'd rather go play in the woods." And she cries again, "No, me sweater backwards!" Jumper's clueless. He has no idea what she's saying. Your heart goes out to him. Little does he know, it doesn't get any easier. The older they get, it gets harder and harder to know what girls are really trying to say to you. So I feel for the guy, but I digress. I'll get back to the story here. Jumper has no idea what she's trying to say to him, but she's freaking out. And so he decides, okay, I'll bring Allie to Lily's house. He's like, she'll figure it out for sure. And so Lily opens the door, and Allie cries out again, "Me sweater backwards!" And instantly, Lily responds, "Oh dear, your sweater's on backwards. You poor thing." And Jumper, like every good male who's gone before him, he's stunned in sheer amazement, and he asks, "How did you figure that out?" And Lily responds like this, "Here's the little bit of gold that I found hidden in the pages of that book that was written for my kids." Lily says this, she says, "Jumper, sometimes you have to listen with your heart and your eyes, not just your ears." She asks him, "Didn't you see that her sweater was on backwards?" And Jumper says, "No, it passed right by me." But then instantly, a light goes off in his head, and Jumper all of a sudden realizes what it is that some of his other friends earlier in the day, he realizes what it is that they really needed. And so he goes back to his buddy Goob, the big friendly bear. He goes back to help his buddy Goob find his lost butterfly net. And when they find it, Goob asks Jumper, "Hey, how did you know that I really needed help?" And Jumper proudly responds to him at the end of the story. "Sometimes," he says, "sometimes you got to listen with your heart and your eyes, not just your ears." I love that. That's so perfect, right? You got to listen with your heart and you got to listen with your eyes, not just your ears. That's listening with real purpose. That's listening with real care for people that you love and that God loves. That's listening with real purpose, with real intention, with real care for others. Now, I understand that this is not always super easy to pick up on. It's not always so easy to pick up on the stuff. There's a little bit of Jumper in all of us. I get that. Right, maybe it's a little bit of a skill. Maybe there's a little bit of an art to this, to develop this kind of listening for what people are really saying, what they're really getting at, what's really going on, what they really need. Sometimes it can be hard to know what to be listening for. And so let me just suggest then, just as a way to get the ball rolling for us, let me just suggest a few things to be listening for. Cues that should get our attention. And these three cues are what I call the three knots. This isn't the only way to listen with purpose. This isn't the only thing to be listening for. This isn't the only thing to be on the lookout for when you're listening to people in your life. But as you walk out of here, I want you to have something to hold on to. I want you to have something practical to grab onto, to wrap your arms around. So when it comes to the people in your life that you want to be a blessing to, when it comes to the people in your life that you want to invest in, that you want to listen well to, pay attention for the three knots. These are three cues, the three knots. The first is this: not going well. When people in your life say things are not going well. It's a cue for you and for me. Right? Life can be tough. Responsibility can be overwhelming. Circumstances maybe feel like they're never in our favor. Bad news can strike at a moment's notice and can pile up quicker than we ever saw coming. And it can mean that so many people today are saying, you know what, things are not going well. For so many different reasons today, so many people in your life and in my life are in the middle of something that leaves them saying things are not going well. When we hear that or something like it from our friends and from our neighbors, from our coworkers, that should be a cue to listen up. Alarms should be going off in our heads saying, hey, pay attention here, heart, wake up. You know, it's go time. Right, showtime for you and me. This should be a cue, an alarm should be going off saying, what do they need? What's going on? Where can I lean in? Where could I show up in their life? It's a cue when we hear people say things are not going well. Second knot is this, not prepared for this. When you hear people in your life say, I'm not prepared for this. So many people that you and I know, they're at the start of something new. Something unexpected, something unknown, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. It's a new career, it's a new marriage, it's a new season in life. It's setting out on a new adventure, a new God-sized goal maybe, and all of these things can leave people saying, you know what, I'm not prepared for this. I'm not prepared to be a mom or a dad. I'm not prepared for that new promotion, for that new responsibility. I'm not prepared for that hard conversation. I'm not prepared to lose him or her. I'm not prepared to see him or her again, and so on and so on. When we hear this from the people in our life, we pay attention. We start to listen with purpose. We start to listen with more than just our ears. We go, oh, man, what do you need? Where could I step in? Where could I actually be a blessing in your life? Third knot is this, a little more general, a little more generic, but the third knot is this, not in church, right? That there's bound to be people in your life and in mine who say, I'm not in church. We don't go to church. We stopped going to church. We never started going to church. We don't have an interest in church right now. When this comes up in your conversation again, it should be a cue to listen in. It should be a cue to step in maybe. Now, I'm not suggesting in any way, there's no part of me that's suggesting that people that aren't in church, that they don't have people in their life to count on or to lean on. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when this comes up in conversation, it should be a cue for you to think or to ask yourself or to maybe flat out ask them, well, shoot, where could my church or where could I show up in your life that maybe could make a huge difference? Where could I invest well in you? Where could I be a blessing in your life? It's the three knots. It's the three cues, things for us to be listening for. Now, there's absolutely more to listening well to these three things. I just hope that somehow, whether it's this stuff or something else, that's fine. I just hope that somehow you and I would begin to listen with real purpose to the people around us. That we'd slow down long enough. That we wouldn't be in such a hurry to get on our way or to make up our mind. Right? That we'd slow down long enough to hear what people are really saying around us. It's a part of this awesome plan that we get to be a part of. I hope that we would be praying for people in our life. That's where this starts. I hope that we'd be praying for people in our life that are far from God, that have questions about God, or that are just in need of some good news, asking God, hey, how could we be a blessing? How could I show up, God? Where could I show up? And then I hope that we would start to listen to those people around us with our hearts and with our eyes, not just with our ears. It could make all the difference in the world. Could make all the difference in the world. In your neighborhood, in your community, in your school, your place of work, or maybe just in the life of one person in your life who needed it the most. So let's start to listen with purpose. Let me pray for us. God, I have to admit, and I imagine that so many people here would have to admit that we live life at a pretty quick pace. Things move along at a pretty quick clip. And it can be really easy for us, God, to listen to people without really hearing what it is that they're saying. God, maybe that happens in our own families, you know, in our own relationships, you know, with our own best friends even, God. That's just the thing that's happening right now, that we can be so quick to listen but to rarely hear what it is that people are saying. God, when it comes to that kind of thing happening in the life of neighbors of ours or friends of ours, God, I pray that you would help us to develop ears that really started to hear people around us, especially people that are far from you or that have questions about you. It can be so easy to hear what's happening in life and to assume that that they don't really want us to engage or they don't really want us to step in, and we can be quick to offer thoughts and prayers, and boom, we're on our way. God, I just pray that you would help us to develop ears that hear more, that we would start to listen with more than just our ears, God, that our hearts would engage, that our eyes would engage when it comes to the people around us, God, our neighbors and family and friends and coworkers, people in our sphere of influence. God, would we have ears to hear what's happening in their life, to be listening for their joy and their pain, their hopes and their dreams, that we would be listening, God, intently for maybe evidence, God, as small as it might be, evidence that you are at work in their life. And God, maybe we would know where to step in, when to step in, how we could step in their life in a really meaningful way. God, I just pray that you would help us in general know how to grab a hold of this little plan that we're putting into play over these next 5 weeks. And I really pray that you would help us to develop it into not just something for 5 weeks, but God, that it would develop into just a part of our life and then part of who we are as people and a part of the way that we impact and that we influence and become some of the best friends and neighbors and coworkers and bosses and managers and employees around. God, help us to do these things. And God, we help that all this would be done in a way that's really honoring to you most of all. So thanks for this morning. Thanks for this chance to be together. We pray these things in your name. Amen.